We have a busy lineup for you today, so we're going to dive right on in as we have Habitat for Humanity joining us here in the studio, Daylene, the executive director, joining us here for our monthly update, and we have John Hales joining us back on a Wednesday morning. John, how's retirement treating you?
You know, I'm pretty good at it. If I could remember what day it is.
I was giving John a hard time because he came in yesterday morning. I just responded to Daylene's email because she said, hey, just so you know, John's going to come in with me Wednesday morning. And okay, that'll be great. Look forward to seeing you then. About 5 minutes later, I walk up here and John's standing there and I go, hey, John, I'm here on the wrong day, aren't I? And I said, yeah, I have you tomorrow. But it was really good to see you.
If I'd had donuts, I'd have been all right. But yeah. That wasn't even an excuse. So. Oh, well.
So, Daylene, Habitat for Humanity, how's it been going here as we get back into the, well, end of the summer, back into the school season, cooler temperatures here and there?
Right. And I'll tell you, it's still hot over at the job site.
Yeah.
We're limiting the guys to just mornings because it gets pretty miserable in the afternoon, but we're clipping right along over there. We've got two houses in progress. I've got the mudder in one, and we're putting trusses up on the other.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's nice to always have a task and always have a job to do. So if we have inclement weather, we can be inside on the one, and nice day, we can be outside on the other. And there's always something to be done when you're building the house.
And, John, I think the worst part about the job site is there's no shade. That's what makes it so darn tricky over there.
That's why you put the roof up.
Yeah.
The roof is your shade.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It was a pretty bare lot when we bought it, and but the homeowners over there are doing a great job getting trees planted and making it look-y. A couple of gals that work across the street at the, I don't know what's in Buffalo School now.
It's a daycare type thing.
Oh, that early education.
Early education.
Yes,
yeah.
They were telling me how fun it's been watching the progress of how things are coming along over there and watching flowers being planted and
you know, I just the other day when I drove by there, I was headed out to the arena, and I started contemplating that old, big old empty lot that used to be sitting there, and I go, you know, this really does look a lot different, and it does. And it
looks a lot better than an empty lot.
Yeah, it just kind of envelops that neighborhood quite nicely.
It really does, and I think it complements it pretty nicely.
Yes, it does.
All kinds
of
kids riding bikes up and down the sidewalks.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Now, John, for folks that haven't heard on the program before, tell us about your involvement with Habitat for Humanity and your re-involvement since you've retired.
Yeah, I was on the original board of Habitat when we put it together with Keith Blackledge 22 some years ago or so. Just out of nowhere, Keith had an inkling that I like to build and do carpentry work and stuff like that, and he came up to me one day, and I'll never forget, we were fellow Rotarians, and he came up to me one day at Rotary and he goes, John, I don't know a thing about swinging a hammer, but I want to start a Habitat for Humanity in North Platte. And I said, you know, I would love to be part of that, Keith. And, of course, nobody said no to Keith. So
does John ever say no, though, Daylene?
Well,
he hasn't yet.
So, today is young.
So, you know, Keith and the rest of us put together a board and steering committee, and we got all the paperwork and stuff going on Habitat. And here we are 62 houses later, and I mean, back then I would have never dreamed of it being what it is today, but hoped, you know, for that, and that was Keith's vision and everything, and it's a fantastic organization. And then, like you said, after I retired and stuff, I don't know how I actually got back into it when I think about it now.
Were you cornered?
Probably.
I came to him because I was looking for a new construction coordinator, and I heard he was retiring from the chamber, and I said, hey, I'd really like you for this job. And he said, well, I'd rather be on the board if you need me there. And I go, absolutely, because I feel involved. I could pretty much get him to do whatever I needed him
and
to
John,
do.
And, John, you can speak to it greater than what I can. Daylene and I have talked about it many times before, but when it comes to Habitat for Humanity, the volunteers are what makes it possible. And you don't have to be a professional carpenter or have the building experience. just have to be willing to come and help.
Yeah, you know, and take instructions, you know. on the job site, that's all it really takes. You know, we've got plenty of volunteers out there that are professionals, in my opinion. They're really good at what they do, and they'll steer you. They'll show you what end of the hammer to hang on to, and how to do it. And it's an amazing experience for anybody that wants to come out there and volunteer at the job site, because it's amazing what you can learn.
Yeah,
and even if you know a lot about construction and so on, you can still pick up stuff from these guys that have done it forever. And it's a great experience for anybody that wants to learn.
When you think about it, the families that we pick, they don't know how to do carpentry. Mm-hmm. And part of the deal is they put in 400 hours of sweat equity time mm-hmm. building that house. So if we can teach a receptionist, or we can teach a bank teller, or we can teach, you know, someone who's never even picked up a hammer how to build a house, we can pretty much teach anybody. And because all you really need is enthusiasm and a positive attitude.
Yep, be willing.
Be willing, and we can teach you how to wield a paintbrush and swing a hammer.
Our monthly update here with Habitat for Humanity underway on KODY's Mugs of the Morning. Have some more fun activities coming up here, Daylene. Let's talk a little bit about Giant Jenga.
Yes, we're having a Giant Jenga tournament. John built us some Giant Jenga games. And
oh, the pieces?
Funny thing is, John had never played Jenga.
I remember you saying that when we talked about this originally. Did you get
you
the
had
grandson?
To remember that.
Did you get the grandson here to help you maybe get some expertise in the game?
No.
We had to wait until he had it built, and then we set it up in the warehouse and showed him how to play.
Yeah, I built the 10 sets. Was it 10 sets, I think, we ended up building? And I took him down to the warehouse one day to get ready for our event mm-hmm. pre-COVID. And I said, you know, I've never played this game, actually. So we set one up and had a little contest between the three of us.
Well, actually, there were four of us, because Crystal was there, too.
Oh, that's right.
Our coordinator was there, too.
Yeah. So that was my first attempt.
We taught him how to play Jenga after he built all the games for it. But we're going to try this again. We tried it before COVID, and that didn't work out so well.
Unfortunately.
So we're doing it again September 25th at Pal's Brewery. Registration at 12:30. The event starts at 1:30.
12:45, wasn't it? Something like that.
That's exactly a month away. I didn't realize today was the 25th, too.
Yes, it is. 1 month away. Come out to Pal's. Part of the event that's going to be kind of fun as well is a costume contest. So come dressed in your favorite costume.
Put your team together.
Put your team together. Get entered. We've got prize money. We've got trophies. We've got bragging rights. And we're going to have a lot of fun.
Of course, being out at Pal's is a cool atmosphere, and we're going to set up on the veranda. Pal's. And so if weather does, you know, become a factor, we're kind of protected.
Have a plan B at least.
Yeah. And it's the 25th, which is the Saturday that we play Michigan State at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't have to worry about losing people to Lincoln day.
The game will be on at Pal's.
The game will be on at Pal's.
With you there. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're going to have food and beverages from Pal's.
If you really want to win, keep buying your opponents beverage after beverage.
There you go. That is one of the strategies.
There is a strategy to the game.
And if somebody was approaching me with that strategy, I'd keep taking them.
Sure. You want to buy, I'm in.
That'll show me.
Yeah. So it should be a fun event.
I think it's going to be a great time, you know. So get your team together, get entered, come on out, put together a costume, do some practicing.
Find a team yourself, and then find a team that you can challenge. You know,
absolutely.
Go
yeah.
up to one of your buddies and say, "I bet I can beat you at Jenga.
I bet I'm better.
I bet I can beat you at Giant Jenga."
Yeah, so put up or shut up, and we'll see who buys the beer.
Also, one of the things, if you're practicing, we have found out in the rules of Giant Jenga that it's one hand. You can remove the game piece with one hand.
Yeah, we discovered that the other day.
Yeah, so get practiced up, get entered up. Come on out.
Giant Jenga, 25th of next month. I'll reach out to you, Daylene, and we'll have you on again to talk about it before as it gets a little closer.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Cool.
We'll harass you anytime.
Oh, I know you will. I know you will.
Any day you want us.
Team harassment.
Guys, we appreciate you stopping by the studio this morning.
Thanks.
We're coming up on KODY's Mugs of the Morning with Chief Dan Hudson of the North Platte Police Department after this quick break.